Radio 560 KPQ.
This is The Agenda from News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
Till 15 at News Radio 560 KPQ. It's time for The Agenda. Michael Knight sitting comfortably in our palatial radio studios. What do you do when it's time to go back to work? I mean, do you hop right out of bed, get into your best suit and go? You put it off, have a long breakfast, talk with anyone who will have any word with you, just saunter down the street, taking every bit of the time, putting it off for as long as possible. What do you feel about work when it's time to go back to work? I know how I feel at 3 in the morning when the damn alarm goes off. I feel like it's time for me to make a career choice. I almost feel that way right now. Noon is too early to start a radio job. Anyway, among our friends and close people that come by our show often is State Senator Brad Hawkins, who's here now saying hello. And he has to go back to work, although I don't imagine you avoid it the way I do, State Senator. Welcome back to KPQ. How are you?
Thank you so much, Michael. Yes, doing well and great to be back in studio with you.
The idea that you're going back to work implies that you don't have anything to do around the house, but I bet the state senator does not have many down days before the phones ring and the staff gets a hold of him.
No, we don't. In fact, the Washington State Legislature meets on a part-time basis every January, and we alternate between these longer years and these shorter years. But the reality is the role of a state senator or any legislator is really year-round in Washington State, and we've done a lot in the interim here in the Wenatchee Valley and with the legislative district covering into four counties. It's all of Chelan County, all of Douglas, part of Grant, about half of Okanagan. So I'm around the district a lot, and the travel is pretty extensive. And then we've been ramping up, too, getting ready for the legislative session. We've been back in Olympia a few times, and it's been It's gearing up. It's going to be a busy one.
Do you think the concept of a part-time public servant is accurate in what we need for these days of increasing demand?
No, I don't.
Don't either.
At one time, according to our Constitution, we developed this idea of, you know, it was more based on our agrarian economy when people lived on the farm and worked on the farm and then had a citizens' legislature where we could all go over and serve. But the reality is that's not the case. I mean, our state economy in the state of Washington is larger than many countries, and our budget, what we're looking at for a two-year operating budget, is probably going to be in the neighborhood of $50 billion. So the work that we do is just getting more and more complex and challenging, and so, you know, it is taking a little bit longer, and then the expectations, you know, throughout the year, and just if you want to do a really good job in making yourself accessible and being a good listener and being available and hearing from your constituents wherever they are, whenever they are, it's year round. We've done a lot of work. You know, we've done a listening tour and we did some things too where we did some extensive travel in the interim, and that's all helpful. It's all appreciated and all helps me do a better job of representing people in the area.
This idea of a part-time public servant looks great on paper, and it seems very humble and agrarian, as you mentioned. But is it time to make a change in that regard, so that at least you're employed full time and are serving full time?
Well, I think perhaps it is something that we should look into. I don't necessarily know that members of the public want us in Olympia longer. But one of the ideas, for example, is in our state constitution, it specifies the lengths of the regular session being 105 days or 60 days, and it depends on if we're developing our two-year budget or if we're making changes to the existing two-year budget. But the state constitution also specifies that those days be consecutive days, and many of us in the legislature are not in Olympia working our legislative bills and taking votes on Saturdays or Sundays, but we are often back in the district, you know, meeting with constituents or, you know, seeing our families and things like that on the weekends. So one of the proposals we had was, well, like, we could still count the same number of session days, 105, but let's back out the weekends and not count those. So there have been some different proposals, but the reality is that would require changing the state constitution, because our founding fathers in our state enacted all that in our state constitution. So it would require, you know, a vote of the people and, you know, some major changes. And there have been enough increasing challenges in our state government and making sure we're operating our state efficiently that I don't think people have focused too much effort on just the structure of the process. But I do think at some point we should take a good hard look at it.
I remember the last time there was the struggle, a wrestling match really over the budget. And then you had to be called back to finish it, and there was only certain days to do it, and it was a hurry up job. I don't suggest that it might have been done better if you'd had more time, but it would have been done differently.
Right. I think the most important thing is that we should be thoughtful and prudent and responsible about how we approach our jobs as lawmakers. The real challenge too is we go over there and we have a certain number of days, and it's perceived if we don't finish this job in this number of days, then we didn't do our job well. But the challenge is, you know, people have deep and differing philosophical opinions.
Oh, I've noticed.
You know, and that's obviously led to some differing of opinions, and those sort of things need to sort themselves out. And also, people don't realize, well, we're taking thousands of votes every session on bills, both in the committee process and on the floor, whether it's in the House or the Senate, wherever we're serving. We're also meeting with a lot of constituents. That's the time when constituents often travel over to Olympia and want to meet with us. So sometimes, you know, whether we serve on two committees or three committees, each committee meeting is two hours a shot. So if we have back-to-back committee meetings, which sometimes we do, I have two committee meetings on one particular day. So that's 4 hours of committee meetings. I can't meet with constituents during that time.
Tell us about your committees.
Well, currently I serve on the Energy, Environment, and Technology Committee, the Higher Education Committee, and K-12 Education Early Learning.
So your wife's a teacher, right?
Those are the three, yes. My wife's a teacher.
So she advises you. She gives consulting advice, I'm sure.
She's my favorite teacher, no doubt about it. And I've also served for 10 years on two different school boards locally, so that's helpful. I've had a past career at a public utility district too, so that helps on the energy issues. Higher ed is something pretty new to me, but you know, I kind of want to learn a little bit about everything, so I like serving on all those. But I also serve in as an elected member of our caucus leadership. I serve as our deputy floor leader, and I was recently reelected to that position by our Republican caucus when we met in November for our retreat and reorganization, which we do every 2 years. And so I have a series of leadership meetings throughout the week where the leadership get together and discuss issues. And sometimes we meet as a caucus and discuss issues. So the long story short is it makes for a very busy day. The days are very packed over in Olympia, and sometimes it doesn't lead to as much thoughtful analysis on some of the topics that we're voting on as what some people may think, you know. And obviously we want to be good listeners. We want to meet with everybody who comes to Olympia. And I try to move heaven and earth so that we can make way in our schedule to do that, because I really pride myself in being accessible to the people and being a good listener and being in touch with the broad spectrum of thoughts and philosophies within our 12th district here. But you put it all together, and it's a challenge, but it's definitely an honor. It's really an honor for me to serve. I was raised here, and with the exception of college and graduate school, I mean, came back, and I'm raising my family here, my wife here, and we just, I just cannot think of a higher honor than to serve as our state senator for this area. So I'm very thankful to all the listeners out there for supporting me in this position, and I want everybody listening to know that if there's ever an issue that you have or a concern that you have with state government or questions that we can help you with or way we can help navigate through this process, you know, please contact our office. And my website is senatorbradhawkins.org. There's ways that people can follow what we're doing there and figure out how to contact us. So it's whether it's by email or phone or by a standard letter. Let us know what your thoughts and concerns are, and we're going to work hard to serve you and make sure you get a response that helps you.
When the Republican caucus gets together for a big meeting, do you have rules of parliamentary procedure, or does everybody get to just yell and scream and have their voice heard?
No, we do have a structure, and we do have a
caucus. Well, that's so disappointing. I wanted it to be a mad room.
Well, it gets mad sometimes, no doubt.
Mad in the sense of insanity.
Well, that, and people do get mad. Just because we're all members of the same party, by no means do we all agree on all issues.
And impossible.
So what I've really come to observe and appreciate about the process is that there is this whole spectrum of political thought and philosophy. And regardless of where people are on the spectrum, if someone's so-called far right or so-called far left, there's just a lot of everything in between. And sometimes the issues differ by region, so they're not always as partisan as what some people might think, but they're more regional in nature. And so so when we meet as a caucus and have those discussions, I mean, we're supposed to, you know, be recognized by the caucus chair, and, you know, only one person speaks at a time. But, you know, it can get kind of interesting at times too, as it can get interesting and passionate on the Senate floor. But there's processes and protocols involved for having structured debate. I mean, the most important thing, I think, is to let everybody have their voice heard, and to engage with them in a thoughtful and responsible way. And if people don't agree with you, what I've come to learn is it doesn't always mean, and I've learned this not only by my service in the legislature, but after 16 years of marriage and 10 years on two different school boards, but just because people don't agree with you, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're right and they're wrong. It could just mean that the two of you think differently about something, and that's okay.
And you just both think you're right.
Yeah, you both think you're right, you know. But, you know, I've had really good conversations with some friends of mine on the other side of the aisle who think as passionately on the opposite side of an issue as I do, and they're as sincere as I am. And they're great people. They just think differently than me. So if that's the case, we need to – it just sort of reinforces the need for us all in the state to put all our concerns on the table, to represent our districts as best we can, but then try to figure out a way that we can bring it all together in a bipartisan compromise so that we can move our state forward. Fortunately, our state is doing really well economically.
But we have a little deficit problem.
Well – we have a projected challenge with the budget, but we actually have record revenues coming into the state. You know, thanks to Amazon and other things, over the last 6 years since the Great Recession, we've had nothing but revenue increases. In fact, the state revenue for this current biennium, this two-year period, 2017-19, that our current budget in, our revenues are actually up over 15% in our state budget. So, With all of that additional revenue growing, my focus is to make sure we're demonstrating a responsible use of taxpayer dollars, and we're being really thoughtful about how we're investing the tax dollars that we're receiving. And under no circumstances do I want increased taxes on the people during this really strong economic time. One, I don't want to throw a monkey wrench into the positive economy that appears to be growing pretty significantly here in our state. But I also think that we should be able to, with all those revenues, live within our means and not burden businesses, job creators, and families with additional taxes.
Do we know how fast the state is growing? Do we know how many new people are coming, even if most of them may be coming to Seattle? I don't know that for a fact, but it seems logical. Do we know how fast the state is growing, or if people are leaving as fast as they're coming, or what's the situation?
No, our state is growing, a matter of fact, and you know that every 10 years we, as you probably know, we conduct a census in our state and in our nation, and we have had the every state has two U.S. senators, but we have our members of the U.S. House of Representatives based on population. And after the last census, we actually increased one of our U.S. Representative seats in our state. And I think perhaps after this next census occurs, we will see an uptick in that as well, just by population. Certainly the Western Washington area is growing significantly, but I think central parts of central and eastern Washington are growing pretty significantly too. In fact, I think a lot of the folks from western Washington in King County are starting to move their way over to Chelan County. So,
looks like that's just about you're not the only one that thinks that. The real estate market tells us that as well.
Yeah, and people from western Washington that have the capital and have the finances, they're able to sweep in and purchase some of these homes and outbid some of the folks locally. And I mean, we're thankful to have people move into our area, but it's housing is certainly a challenge in this area, as it is in western Washington. And with the migration perhaps occurring from west to east, we're going to see increasing challenges for some of our housing issues. And I've been working closely with some of the local officials on housing issues, and we're I think we will see some initiatives pursued at the legislative level.
Did you see the report by Our Valley, Our Future about where will we live?
That was shared with me. Yeah, it was just I think recently put out a
right 60-page report.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting in that it predicts there will be a solution, but right now there is a impediment to every suggestion to that solution. So what the conclusion was, big decisions have to be made, or else this is going to be a stagnation problem.
Yeah, I do think big decisions need to be made, but a number of smaller decisions need to be made too. I don't think there's any one silver bullet when it comes to the housing situation. One of the things I'm working on with elected officials in Douglas County is a potential sewer extension in Douglas County up from East Wenatchee into Douglas County to help encourage really responsible growth. And I think it's as much, when we talk about housing, the issue is as much about basic infrastructure as it is about anything else, and housing regulations and the affordability and the burdens we place on the folks in construction that are building these homes. I mean, we need to not only build more homes, but we need to make sure that we can build high quality homes that are affordable to this single young single professional or the young family member or a senior citizen who wants to downsize. We need to make sure we have affordable options as well. So we're going to be looking at that issue in particular in the legislature, as well as issues around mental health care and other concerns. So in the past, I think this, looking ahead at this session, one of the things that will be a little bit different is we had so much focus on K-12 education because of the past Supreme Court McCleary decision about how the state was arguably underfunding our education at the K-12 level. So now that we've met that constitutional standard with our increased funding at the legislative level, and the Supreme Court in our state has acknowledged that the legislature has met its McCleary obligations. So I think now that'll give us an opportunity as a legislature to focus on some of the other very important priorities in our state. We'll continue to focus on K-12 education, obviously. It's half of the budget expenditures, but we need to make sure we're responsibly focusing on all of the other important services and priorities in our state, housing, mental health, and others.
That's the voice of State Senator Brad Hawkins. He's our special guest today on News Radio 560 KPQ. We'll be back to talk with the senator further right after these words.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ, 560 KPQ, and KPQ.com.
12:37, my very special guest is State Senator Brad Hawkins. We're talking about budgets. We're talking about returning to work in Olympia and also the new headcount there. I guess there's some new people that we have to get used to taking their seats. And they have to get used to this job. It's not easy being a rookie, is it?
No, it's not. Fortunately, I've had a couple years already in the Senate, and now 6 years in the legislature altogether with my 4 years prior in the House. But yes, we have some new members. The elections have changed some things.
Do you make them sit in the back?
Well, actually, we lost three members in the Republican Senate, and the Democratic caucus has gained three seats. So now there's 49 Senate districts in the state of Washington, 49 different legislative districts. And if you spread out a map of the state of Washington, it just looks like a bunch of different puzzle pieces. But But now of the 49, there are 28 Democratic members and 21 Republican members. So the pendulum, and we haven't talked about the elections too much, but the pendulum has definitely swung a little bit, I think, too far towards the other side. And I think we have to be cautious about when one political party gets too many more votes than the other, it can sort of open up the floodgates to some policies that don't work for the entire state. And so that's one of the things that I'm concerned with for this coming legislative session is...
How do you get a vote from the other side when you need a vote from your opposition party?
Well, oftentimes, the way it functioned my first year in the Senate was we were in the majority as the Republican Senate caucus. And so the governor, of course, is a member of the Democratic Party, and the Democrats and Speaker Chop control the state house, and they have for many years. But when that first year, when there's a Republican Senate, we had the ability to act as sort of a backstop, the baseball analogy for you there, Michael, but a bit of a backstop to some of the policies that we thought would be adverse to this area of the state. Or we could stop some things, and then would really force a compromise. In my second year, we were in the minority, but it was so close, it was pretty much a tie, so all of the issues had to somewhat be bipartisan, and when we needed votes on one side or the other, we would reach out and have more conversations. But now, with the spread of 28 Democratic senators and 21 Republican senators, I have to admit that we're a bit marginalized in my caucus on some of the things that we can advocate for, and some of the things, unfortunately, that we might want to stop. Because with that comfortable of a vote spread, they may not need to reach out to us and get our ideas on things, which is actually pretty frightening for some of us over here in central and eastern Washington.
In fact, it's the very imbalance that many politicians on this side of the Cascades run on. Vote for me, because otherwise you won't get representation of any sort.
Right, and where we have lost some positions, and it's pretty similar actually in the state house. The Senate has 49 districts, or 49 members, and the state house has 98 members. And I think the state house, the Republican Party lost about 7 members in the state house, and we lost 3 positions in the state Senate. So it's pretty proportionate, but it's a similar sort of situation over there. So the Democratic Party has a bit of a trifecta right now with the governorship. And so if they really want to push for some of these things, some of these very stinky things that I think, like an income tax and some of these other things, you know, they might have the votes to do something like that.
You think that anybody would ever vote for an income tax? I mean, I know that it logically looks like something that many states use to finance their operations. But in Washington, wouldn't that be a death knell?
Well, not to some members in the legislature. Pretty much every year there have been proposals for an income tax, and I don't want to scare the members of the public, the listening audience, to think that, you know, that's a likely outcome for this legislative session. But I put it on the table as a potential for some of the things that could occur when the pendulum swings too far to one side or the other. So,
well, how does Washington manage without an income tax that other states have, and how do they fund themselves in spite of that?
Well, we have a variety of revenue sources. The primary revenue source and stream for the state of Washington is our sales tax. Now, some states, like Oregon, they don't have a sales tax, but guess what? They have an income tax. So one way or another, states need to generate a certain amount of revenue that's sufficient to provide the services that they need to provide in their state. We receive a good portion of our revenue through the sales tax. We also receive it through a pretty unpopular business and occupation tax, a tax on businesses, which I'd like to actually lower and reform. And then we also have a state portion of the property tax. When people pay their property taxes, they're paying a certain portion to schools and fire districts and local government entities and special purpose districts, ports and others, but also a portion of their property taxes are state portions of the property taxes that are collected at the state level. So those are sort of our revenue sources. Some people could make the case for diversifying that, adding an income tax, but then netting out some of the revenue from the sales tax. But my fear is always, when taxes get added, they don't go away, and the pancaking layering effect just sort of continues, and what we end up with is more taxes. And I really believe that the middle class, the people who are paying the majority of the taxes in our state, simply there is a point where we just can't afford to pay anymore. I mean, the people who are paying the taxes, it's almost, we've created a situation in our state, and I'm not sure if it's because of the tax pressure or because of our own individual spending interests or whatnot, but we've almost created a situation where both spouses in a relationship or, you know, you have to work to make ends meet. There used to be a time when you didn't have to do that, where you could have one breadwinner, so to speak, and the other could be, have more time to do the work and life balance and manage things at the house.
Plus, two kids is a full-time job. I don't care who you are.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. No doubt. But now we're in a situation where pretty much everybody has to work to make ends meet. And I think a lot of that has to do with tax pressure. And I do think, you know, as compassionate as I am and others are about providing key services to people who are less fortunate, we have to make sure we're doing that in a responsible way and in demonstrating a prudent use of taxpayer dollars, because it's getting to a point, at least I believe, where the people who have the resources can't afford to pay anymore. And it's starting to really, you know, at some point it jeopardizes and undermines the whole system if we're taxing some people, you know, simply too much.
Taxes are devilish because we can change them. We can raise them. We can lower them. We don't lower them, but we could probably. Mm-hmm. One thing about wages is we have to leave that up to the employer. Wages are not rising in support of people paying more taxes and still being able to get through it. That's why husband and wife have to work, because the husband's salary now is not enough to bring home a sustainable future for a family of four. It was when my father was working, but it's not that way for me. And what I sense is that salaries are the one point that doesn't move, because we can't move it.
Yeah.
We can't legislate against higher salaries.
Well, and there are some other things. Sometimes some entities are employers and local governments are able to provide higher salaries, but then because of increased health care costs, which in some ways is a state issue, in some ways is driven primarily through federal actions, but the increasing costs of health care and other increased costs are wiping away people's salary increases, in a sense. So people are earning more but taking home less or the same. So it's a real challenge. But I am very sensitive to the tax pressure in the state of Washington, and it's one of the things that I am frankly concerned about as I head over to Olympia a month from now, because I know the tax pressure is coming. I know even though we have significant increased revenues through our normal economic growth, I do fear that there are going to be more proposals to dip into our own pocketbooks and generate additional revenue to the state. And I would just rather we do that through our economic policies and economic growth and through, you know, private sector creating more jobs rather than the government trying to dictate winners and losers through tax policy.
State Senator Brad Hawkins on News Radio 560 KPQ will come back, talk with the senator some more right after these words on News Radio 560.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ. The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
Special guest this afternoon on The Agenda is State Senator Brad Hawkins. We've only got a moment to speak, but the senator has got something he wants to say about his job being a public service job and also a customer service job, which I hadn't thought about that, Senator. You have the floor.
Well, thank you, Michael. Yeah, that's the way I think of it. And I believe these positions over in Olympia exist to serve the people who elect us. So I just wanted to encourage everybody in these final couple minutes, if there's any question they have or concern they have about state government, or there's something that we can help you with, help you navigate through the process, please contact our office. My website is senatorbradhawkins.org. You can get our telephone hotline and our direct line over to Olympia. We have staff that can help assist you. I try my best to share information. We can sign up to our email newsletter that we send out about once a month now, about but about once a week during the legislative session. So I really try hard to utilize the office to provide information to people and really help people. Those are the really cool stories that, you know, would probably take a whole nother hour episode that I never really share, but how people have contacted our office and needed help with something, and we've been able to lead them in the right direction and help them out that way. And those are the things that I really take a lot of pride in.
You lead them through the bureaucracy sometimes.
Yeah, help them weave through the maze. And sometimes people contact us about a federal issue, so we're actually able to help them. It's like, well, this isn't something that I'm working on directly, but we can get you in touch with our federal representatives, or sometimes it's more of a local issue. But if it's anything to do with the state government, we can usually, if we don't have the answers, we can get them. And like I said, if people want to come over and visit me in Olympia, happy to do that. I mean, we move heaven and earth whenever constituents come over. That's our favorite time when constituents come visit. But also I'm over here on the weekends, usually on Saturdays, so I can try to connect with people even during session.
But the first step would be to contact your office here or in Olympia.
Contact the office in Olympia if they have a question, or send me an email at brad.hawkins@ledge.wa.gov. And like I said, if we don't have the answers, we will endeavor to find out.
Senator Brad Hawkins, thanks for being here today, Brad. Nice to talk to you again.
Thank you so much, Michael. Always great to be with you.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ. And